Texas Toast Podcast is brought to you commercial-free thanks to TSC Entertainment.
I call him the ride.
Go ahead, put it on real tight. Hope you brought your best tonight. They say they got the fireworks. Yeah, they say they got the show. You're around the chutes, you're the best. So let's go.
This is Texas Toast, a production of TSC Entertainment. I'm your host, Miss Helen. Kick back and enjoy as we toast the best from Texas.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Toast. I'm Miss Helen, along with an artist that I go way back to the beginning with. Hello, my old friend, Rich O'Toole. How are you?
How are you doing, Helen? Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Well, I'm so glad. I ran a little bit behind. We were down doing water yoga. So literally, I'm still drying off. So this is pure Matagorda Helen right here. This is how we roll.
What is water yoga? I thought yoga and Matagorda is where you just like passed out drunk in weird positions.
Well, we actually do drunk yoga sometimes.
It's probably more relaxing.
No, we switch over to the water yoga once a week during the summer, but I prefer the mat yoga. But anyway, you might even remember Christy and Clay Bishop from down here, our fire chief. And
yeah, I remember everybody, man. It's been basically, it was like a second home.
Yeah. And you came to Matagorda a lot. You and Ichabod used to hang out together.
Ichabod. Yeah.
Ichabod. You know that Ichabod DJ'd my son and daughter-in-law's wedding.
I think he DJ'd everyone's. He was the only DJ in Matagorda.
He does so good. You know, he goes way back too with me. But it was funny because I told him, I said, you need a break. Put on Beach Please and let's dance. He said, I don't know anybody that's ever danced to Beach Please. And I said, well, we're going to do it. Okay. Can you see this?
I can. Oh my God. Yeah. That's way back.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. RIP CW, man. I'm sorry to hear about him passing.
Yes. Bless his heart. Yeah. So let's go back because I still have that particular. That was when you came out with 17 and you had Cleveland and Robert E. Lee and Queen of the Misfits. That's still some of my favorite jam.
Yeah, we're re-releasing our first record again soon. We had a song called Robert E. Lee on there. We took it down during the kind of the BLM stuff and just out of respect, you know, because Robert E. Lee. And, so we're going to re-upload it back up without Robert E. Lee on the whole record next month with some live tracks of Queen of the Misfits and some unheard live tracks from like 2014. Will be on there as well. So
that's awesome. So you've come a long way since I kind of lost touch with you. You've released so much music. Your music library is just gigantic these days.
Yeah, I want to keep just pumping it out. I mean, I try as much as I can to just keep releasing music because I have a lot to write about, you know. And yeah, it's, you know, that's it's hard now too. It's like the music's changed the game. You know, it costs so much money to record something and you're not getting any money back for it. I mean, it's the stupidest investment you can possibly do, you know. Yes. To record a really great song is $2,500 to do it the right way. And I won't make that back on with Spotify or Apple Music for years.
Oh no, not for that nickel dime and
no
99 cents. And yeah,
I couldn't imagine even buying a stock or even buying. It's like if you bought a hamburger in a store and they barely gave you a crumb of bread. You're like, I'm never coming back here. But here we are. I have to keep doing it so fans can hear my music and it's for them, you know? So
right.
It's tough, you know?
Yeah.
I'm on the streets in New York City too. I'm a part
of shopping. I see that. I'm loving that.
If it's live, I'm really sorry.
No, it's not. It's no, this is okay. Awesome. I like it. So you're in New York now.
Yeah, I just moved up here 2 weeks ago. I'm apartment shopping and I'm shopping for to either buy or rent. I don't know. I'm thinking of trying to buy a place just for a better investment. But yeah, I like it here. I like to write here. I love food. I love everything. And so, you know, the city's alive. I can walk out my front door and go to my favorite coffee shop and get a bagel and get food and the nightlife and everything. It helps me write as a writer. You know, I want to keep putting music, you know, I mean, I love being in Texas, but there's, you know, unless I'm fishing or like doing something by the water, I really don't have a passion there. And that's kind of why I moved up here. So, but it offends people. People get upset when I moved to New York because they're just like, oh, it's not Texas. Duh, duh, duh. It's like, dude, it's just life. Relax. You don't have to, you know, be in the state your whole life to still release Texas music. I've been there for the first 37 years of my life. Like,
you've put out some wonderful Texas music. And going back to what year was that when that you started?
I think 2005. Okay. Or 2006, yeah. So for a while.
You've been at it for a long time, and you've had quite a few number ones on the Texas Regional Radio Report, and even some that didn't go number one were still charting, and that's a heavy chart. And you've played tons of shows in Texas as well.
Yeah, I think our stats would be, I think we have 4 number ones, 23 songs in the top 10, and we've done 1,700 shows. So I'm almost like retired. I mean, it's almost exhausting. And that was kind of recently, I don't know if you saw a post, but I just was like, I need a break. I was drinking too much. My anxiety was out of control. My stress is out of control. It's a lifestyle where, if you can imagine playing 1,700 shows, and every show there's, you know, thousands of people there, or even 500 or whatever, and they want to drink after, and you got to go to a shitty hotel room. And it was a lifestyle that really caught up to me. And that's why I needed a break. And I'll still tour, and I'll probably release more music, because now I'm not touring, because I'll be cranking out a lot of jams. But yeah, I mean, it was something where I put it in a post, and I was like, I got to get some help, man. I'm worn out. Like, it was the stress and fatigue. And you know.
Well, good for you. And sometimes you have to check yourself, and you come first, and you got to take care of yourself. You've put so much into your career, and I'm proud of you for stepping up and saying, hey, because a lot of people would fight it. They would just ignore it, keep going and rolling with it, and then end up in bad places. So good for you. So you have a new release, 17 Wild Horses.
Yeah.
And a video. I saw the video. Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
It's a great video. I think it's at a film festival right now. Waco, they're trying to win an award for it. It's cool. And I think 17 Wild Horses is number 37 on the chart this week.
Yes, it's charting.
Yeah, that's good, man. I'm still investing in the game. I'm a hard worker. I like to put it out there. I want people to hear it. So, you know, we're still at it.
Well, there ain't no way to stop me riding in this town. Should take your heart and drop it for miles and miles around. The hardest part, she don't know.
Now, for a while, you were in LA, right?
I was, yeah, off and on for like 5 to 6 years. That was a good thing for me, too. You know, it was a good break from Texas, and you got to meet a lot of creative people that are in film and music out there. So.
And then you've had a couple of good collaborations on one of your CDs with Pat Green and Josh Abbott. Those were nice songs.
Those were, you know, me and Josh became friends early on in our careers, and working with Pat was an honor, just because I idolized him. So, you know, it's different, and our music's going to continue to change. It won't always, you know, I don't know if our music will always be Texas country. I think the next record I'm writing sounds more of like a Springsteen, or it sounds more of like a Bob Dylan-ish type writing. As I get older, you know, things change. And so, you know, continue to grow.
Right. Right. Well, one thing that you can't deny is that distinctive voice that you have.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a Ronnie Dunn mixed with something. I don't know. But
I've always loved your voice since the first time I heard it. So that's the one thing. I mean, there's no denying when you hear, I was driving down the road listening to something one day, listening to one of the Texas radio stations. I was out of town, and it was like, as soon as the first, like your voice hit the radio, it was like, there's Rich. No denying that voice.
That's great. So, I know.
Yeah. So what are you looking at as far as future releases? It looks like you got a new album coming out. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm working. You know, we'll see if the label wants to do another record. I'm signed to Average Joe's. They have like Montgomery Gentry, Colt Ford in Nashville. They're an amazing record. I'm just not sure what direction we're going into, but, you know, and the album I'm writing is very much kind of more rock, artistic, more forward. So it'll be interesting. Just to get the same Rich O'Toole stuff, because the voice doesn't change, you know?
Right.
But it'll sound like a Rich O'Toole record.
Yeah. So where do you get like your musical inspiration for writing songs? I know you're talking about New York is helping you with coming up with material to write, but like when you first started, how young were you when you wrote your first song?
I think I, it was called, it was a song called Blue Eyes. I don't think I've ever told anyone this. I think I was 15 or 16. I just got a guitar and I found the recording. I can't remember and I lost it. It was just sad because like, it'd be so funny to hear that my voice was even different there. I didn't really learn to sing until I was like in college and I found my voice really. And it was pretty, it was like blue eyes, like wow, blue. But it was like really, really dumb, you know, but it made me understand that I was capable of writing a song. And people were like, wow, you're actually a good writer. When I played baseball, I would take a guitar on the bus and I'd sit there and I'd make fun of the coaches. And it's funny, like one of the coaches pulled me aside and was like, hey, knock it off. But those are actually really good. Those are actually good songs. Like, I know you're making fun of me, but it's like, you're actually, you can write a song. You're a good songwriter. I was like, I think so.
That's awesome.
So in college, I just dedicated my life to it, started getting a following and whatnot.
Yeah. And of course you were at A&M. So you were right there where a lot of you know, a lot of musicians, Texas artists came out of A&M in that area.
A lot. I was the first guy to play the Dixie Chicken after Lyle Lovett and Robert Rokeem. They didn't do it for like 30 years. And I begged them to do it and they finally let me do it. I just had to do it for free for a while. And then they finally gave me $100 and I remember.
So that's awesome. Yeah. Look at you now. What did you study at A&M?
Basically whatever the girls I were dating were studying. I just wanted to pass the test. But I was a communication major with a history minor. My mom begs me to go back for 2 hours because I'm like 2 hours away from a double major. But communication and history.
That'll keep you busy, and then music on top of that. So going back to talking about college, I know you grew up in the Houston area, but I can't remember which part.
I grew up on the west side. So I went to Stratford High School, you know, Memorial Jerry Ashford.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So in the suburbs.
You were a Spartan. They're the Spartans, Spartan. Right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So interesting. There was like a poor part and a rich part. And I was in the poor part. My parents were... I think they were lower middle class if I had to adjust it at that point. And all my friends were really probably upper middle class. And so I kind of grew up like faking like we had money because I just didn't want to not fit in, you know. And that taught me a lot too. That taught me about, you know, class, and it gave me a way to like write about people because, you know, when you see stuff like that, it gives you an insight of what life's really like, you know.
Well, so happy for all your success. And did I read somewhere I saw you had started your own record label at one point?
Yeah, well, the Average Joe's in Nashville, they actually gave my own record label. And we're supposed to be signing a bunch of Texas music acts, but when they gave my own label, COVID hit. So for a year, I didn't tour. I didn't sign anybody. I just bought a big house in Nashville. So I was just throwing barbecues and we really weren't even working on it. And I think the option is better to still to sign somebody. It's just so hard right now because of COVID and numbers and whatnot, that I really couldn't dedicate my time to it. I kind of lost interest after a while just because it was just so hard. COVID really flipped everything upside down, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I basically signed to my own label with Average Joe's in Nashville, which is interesting. It's kind of cool.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
So if you were to, let's say that you were going to decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and recruit and sign someone to this label, what would you look for? Yeah, because we have a lot of up and coming musicians that listen to this podcast, and I think that would be great advice for them.
Yeah. You know, something different that I think there's two hats to wear on that project. As an artist, of course, I want to sign someone that I think is a really great songwriter that has, you know, is great live and all that. And that's someone that we would sign. On the other side of that, something that's different that I see potential in selling, you know, it's like, I like restaurants. I'm obsessed with food.
I know you are.
I'm sober right now. Because I wanted to cure my anxiety. It wasn't like I was an alcoholic. Right. I plan on, you know, drinking wine again, but as I get older, it's just like my body can't handle it. My mental health can't handle it. But when I go to, I've been to a lot of great restaurants. And the wine's amazing. The bread's amazing. The olive oil's amazing. There's no one in there. I did this two nights ago. I ate by myself at a restaurant that was just phenomenal. And the owner was like, why do you think no one's in here? And I guess I was like, I could tell you why no one's in here. I had the hardest time finding this place. You have no marketing, man. You have the best restaurant, but you have no marketing. And, you know, a lot of people hated on Rich O'Toole early on, and they still do, because I kind of knew how to market myself.
Yes, you did.
I would put a sticker everywhere. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know how to get in front of people. If I opened up for Randy Rogers, I would give away 1,000 CDs instead of trying to sell six. I'd mm-hmm. give away 1,000. So people, everyone had that 17 record because everyone got it for free. And people hated that. They're like, "How much is so ripped? It's the merch day when you're just giving away." I was like, "Well, they're going to hear that. They're going to come buy a $10 ticket from me." And that's what I look for. I look for someone that knows how, that is talented and knows how to market themselves is the key of the music industry. And I can't tell you how many way more talented people there are than me, but they just don't know how to market themselves.
Yeah. And of course, marketing has changed so much too now with social media from when you first started.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was the first guy at A&M with a website. People were shocked. You can believe that. I was the first guy with a website. I remember wow. it was 2001. People had websites, like Coca-Cola had websites like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But like songwriters didn't have websites. So I built this really cool website with this guitar like flipped upside down, and you could see where I was playing in College Station. And I would put richotool.com on every bar sticker, and people would go home and Google it. And they're like, "Yeah, I don't know this guy's music, but he's only doing a website, so I can at least track him." You know? Mm-hmm. And I remember I was one of the first, you know, at A&M, I was one of the first 1,000 people that had Facebook. When Facebook came out, and it was only open, they did some kind of announcement at A&M, and they said, "This is a new thing called Facebook. If you have an A&M email address, you can sign up." Remember, Facebook was only allowed to people with a college email address.
Exactly. That's where it started. Right.
So I was one of the first guys to log in. I really had access to like any name. I could have done facebook.com/tacos and I would have got it. I mean, everything was open at that point. Mm-hmm. I chose, if you can believe this, I chose O'Rule, O-R-U-L-E, which is still my real personal Facebook page from the very beginning. I was like, "What an idiot. Why don't you just do facebook.com/rich? Like, you would have been the only guy on there with that." So I think I had access to tools early on that taught me like, okay, be in front of the game, be in front of the deal. Like everyone's got an Instagram, everyone's got Twitter. Find out what the next thing is. If you're in Texas country right now and you want to sell, find out what the next thing that people can really look you up on, because mm-hmm. that's where you're going to break. And then, you know, like a lot of the co-Wetzel stuff like that, people will want to hate on him, but it's also like, hey man, it's so different. That's why people wanted to break from the everyday Texas country, blah, blah, blah. They wanted something different. They were hungry for it. And he offered it.
And that's the thing we've seen, you know, over all the years since I've been involved with Texas country since the late 90s up till now. It's amazing how it just keeps evolving. And then you'll have a group of artists come through and it's almost like they come through, graduate, move on up. And then you have a new group, you know, in all these years. It's just been so nice to see the young talent that comes up, the new artists that come up and see them evolve. And that's the ones that are consistent with what they do and hang in there. And like you said, no, how to market, and they have something a little bit different to offer.
They do, yeah. And it's like high school. I mean, I remember when I first started, it was like me, Josh Abbott, Mark Crow, Casey Donahue. Mm-hmm. We were the young freshman class, and now we're the old guys.
You know? Yes.
now we're like this. We're like the fifth year seniors now, and then there's this super senior, like over the hill crowd, like Krager and Fallon. And
right, I know. And see, you know? I'm in that age group with Brother Kevin and
don't
Roger.
Feel bad. It's great music, you know,
but it's great. They're still going. We're all still at it. And, but it's crazy because it's like how my kids have grown up. I've almost watched you grow up, and I look at you, and how old are you now?
37. I met you when I was 22, you know, it's
yes,
like,
yeah. I'm like, how is he 37? Just like, how is my daughter 30 now?
Yeah. That's wild. You look great. Yeah, you look young and great. So,
oh, thank you. This is like absolutely barely any makeup. So I was like, I tell Kyle all the time, do we really have to do that YouTube stuff? But oh, well, it is what it is.
I know. I know. I feel bad too, because usually I always commit to podcasts and I'm so busy and I'm always traveling that it's like I'm never at home. And so when I get pops up my calendar, I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, right now you're live from the East Village.
I love it. That is so cool.
We can buy heroin right now live. We want to do it. I don't know. We can figure it out. But, you know, that's just like, I always do it in weird places because I'm like, I don't have an option. I can't just wait at home till 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock to do it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, you were talking about your love for food because I do follow you on social and you really like your tacos.
I do. Yeah, I really do.
What's your favorite taco?
Oh, you know how that started was I had to live with my mom out of college because I was too broke. And she finally bought a house. My parents were not wealthy. She finally bought a house at her age at like 53 or something. It was a really cool neighborhood, but she bought like the first one. And so like they hadn't built the other like 30 houses yet. And there was like six taco trucks that showed up every day, and I had no money. So I would go to like a different one, talk to, learn Spanish. I was eating the tacos for lunch while I was songwriting. And I just, I fell in love with the culture. I fell in love that for $3, you can have a full meal, eat tacos. They're amazing. They're fresh. The produce is fresh. That was kind of where my love came from, was living in my mom's while they were building houses around her place.
Yeah, tacos are my favorite. I wish we had a good like street taco around here. You know, we've really grown here in Matagorda. We've got some good food going on here and good shops. Hopefully one day you can get back down here pretty soon. It's been great visiting with you, and I appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for the scenery. I kind of like that. It's different, and I'm very proud of you. You know, I've watched you grow up, and that, look at that. See, I could never get to see that. If you were sitting somewhere at home, I wouldn't get to see all that stuff.
You wouldn't. I know. That's a very, I think this street's been in a bunch of movies.
I wish now I would have had mine and carried it around and could have seen old home here in Matagorda, seeing some stuff. I should have done that.
You should have done live from the boat or something. Yeah.
I know. That's coming. Kyle's getting ready for that. Yeah. Cause it's like, I'm either coming up here rolling like this, or I got fish slime on me, which I love the smell of trout.
I did too. I could eat fish every day. I love the ocean. I was just in Belize for about 3 weeks, and that was so much fun. That's all I ate was fish. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a little different question than we normally ask. Usually it's, if you're a cocktail, what would you be? But Rich O'Toole, I'm going to ask you, if you were a taco, what would you be?
I would be a barbacoa taco. I love barbacoa. Okay. It is my favorite.
All right. Well, good luck to you. Continued success. As always, I still, like I said, I have all your music in my library, because you've got so many songs we didn't even go over, like God and George Strait, and just that, you know, look up Rich O'Toole. I'm sure everybody that's listening is familiar, and it's nice to get updated and see that you're doing great. You're in a good state of mind, and I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you so much. And really, thank you for having me on there. And I want to go fishing with you. So let's get something on the books.
Come on down soon. And it'll be cool. It'll be chill with me and Captain Ron. We'll get out there and be serious and get on some fish and wade fish a little bit if we have to, and go get them.
All right, cool. Love it.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, there you have it. Another great episode of Texas Toast. If you've made it this far, just wanted to say thank you to all of you who have been listening and spreading the word about us. If you'd like to support the show, whether it be through sponsorship or by subscribing on YouTube or by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be great. Anything and everything helps. We're just getting this thing rolling with no end in sight, and have some incredible interviews lined up for all of you. So please help us get the word out. We'll see you next time on Texas Toast.
From as she left, I dare to say, well, you can go to hell. Hell, I'll go to Texas. I've had my fill of every place but home. Well, take away these city lights, put me on a one-way flight. I'm leaving out of hell tonight. Just consider me gone. Of my southern draw, my swagger on my sway. Yeah, these old boots, oh, this cowboy hat.